morning I get the job to look at prophets. So the last few weeks we've had a look at Ephesians 4, verse 7, where Paul's really writing to talk about what are our roles in life. How does God create us to be the body of Christ? Because we hear all about we are the body of Christ, he has gifted us in certain ways. So what we're talking about this morning is the role of the prophet. So Ephesians 4, we see that, I'm just going to turn this so I'm not looking at the screen all the time. So Paul's really writing to help us understand how we work together. What's our role? How does God gift us? And how do we work together as the body of Christ? So verse 7, but to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So God doesn't give these roles just for the fun of it. He gives these roles to the body of Christ to help us grow up, to help us work together, and to journey with him for his big picture, redeeming the world. And so what it really talks about is that not for the special few. It's actually for everyone. So God designed each one of us here with a purpose that we can serve him 24/7 in one of these five roles. So what we're going to look at today is how to be a prophet. So let's just quickly remind ourselves of the definitions of all of them. So the apostles, they bring challenge or innovation. They can bring breakthrough in situations, particularly where things are stuck, and they can extend things out so they see opportunities. Prophets hear and communicate the heart of God. So that's about discernment. Evangelists bring and share the good news. So that's about drawing people in. Shepherds care for and protect. So we use the word shepherd interchangeably with pastors because people think pastors means you've got a paid employment or a job. And a teacher grasps and applies truth. So they explain what happens. And if you remember the mountain analogy, apostles say,
let's climb the mountain.
Let's go up the mountain. The prophets say,
this mountain.
This is the mountain we're going to climb. The evangelists say,
let's get everyone.
Come on, everyone, let's climb the mountain. The shepherd says, is everyone okay? Have you got sunscreen? Have you got your water bottle? And the teacher says, this is how we climb the mountain. So just before we dig into what a prophet is, I want to test your mental maths this morning. Some people are going, oh no. It's all right, it's not too hard. I want you to think of a number between 1 and 10. So you all got a number between 1 and 10? I want you to multiply it by 9. If it's a double digit, I want you to add those two digits together. I want you to subtract 5. Now I want you to think of a letter that corresponds to that number. So number 1 equals A, B equals 2, number 3 equals C, number 4 equals D, number 5 equals E. So work out what your letter is. Think of a country starting with that letter. In English? There's always got to be one, doesn't there? Think of a country starting with that letter. Now, the last letter of that country, I want you to think of an animal. And with the last letter of that animal, I want you to think of a colour. Now, hands up, those who've got orange kangaroos in Denmark. So, does that make me a prophet?
Probably.
No, it just means that I'm smart. So, so prophecy, or being the role of a prophet, is not about investigation. It's not about being smart. It's not about fortune telling. It's not about clairvoyance. It's actually one of the most misunderstood gifts or roles that God provides. But it's one of the most helpful, I would say that, because prophecy is dear to my heart, because it communicates in the heart of God. We hear the heart of God and we want to communicate that. We want to draw people closer to God. So it's not about investigation. In actual fact, prophecy often is the opposite of what we see. You know, God's heart, because he creates each one of us and knows what's going on in each one of us, often what he's wanting to communicate is not what we're actually seeing. So there are times that I'll be praying for someone and I'll see a picture and I go, oh, that's just not right. And when I actually speak about it with someone, they, you know, it's just bang on what they need to hear and what God's wanting to communicate with them. So it's really important to understand that prophecy is not some sort of woo-woo thing. It's actually about hearing and communicating the heart of God. So how do you work out if that's something that maybe God's given you as a role for your life? Well, prophets is about... So if it's about hearing the heart of God, that includes things like, so maybe when you pray for someone, you see a picture. Maybe when you're talking with someone, you have an understanding about their life that you really don't know how you know, but you just know that something's not quite right. Maybe you are passionate about social justice, about injustice in the world, because that's close to God's heart. So maybe there are a whole variety of ways. We think about prophecy, if you've been in the church for a while, that it's about someone standing up the front and telling forth some amazing thing that God might want to see, or a picture. But it's actually bigger than that. It's not just about telling someone what you think God wants them to hear, but it's actually about hearing the heart of God and communicating that. So it does include that element of injustice. So, what's the definition of a prophet? So it's one who listens to and hears the heart of God. So prophets are very attentive to God. They foretell, so it means what's happening into the future, and tell forth, so they proclaim the revelation of God. They understand the times and what people should be doing. So in 1 Chronicles 12, the men of Amasa hear what God wants to have and they go off to be part of David's army. They stand back from the immediate and they see creative solutions. So you know you've been with a prophet when you leave them and wonder what Jesus would say about what's happening. When you're filled with wanting to seek God's heart, when you're wanting to find out God's motivation, and when you're wanting to follow his call and his agenda. So often when you speak with a prophet, they draw you closer to God. And here at church, we've been learning how to develop our prophetic muscles by praying for people and learning to recognise when God is speaking to us. And it's very exciting to see how God touches people's lives, both in the church and out, with prophetic words. And in the past, David and I have had a number of prophetic words prayed over us that have helped us discern where we should be going or what we should be doing. So I just want to take a little sidetrack about what's the difference between the role of a prophet and the gift of prophecy. Because Paul talked about we should eagerly desire prophecy. So 1 Corinthians does talk about the gift of prophecy and we should eagerly desire to prophesy. We should all want to hear God's voice. But the role of a prophet, so when we've been looking through these five roles, it's about our identity. How has God gifted us as our role in life? And then on top of that, you then have various spiritual gifts. So prophecy is one, but there's a whole host of others. Hospitality, leadership, grace, mercy. There's a whole lot of other gifts that lay on top of it. So if I'm, for example, if my role as a pastor, so a shepherd, I'll be really great at hospitality because I want to care for people. I want to put out lots of food. I want to make people feel welcome. For me, I just find that exhausting. I can do it. We have lots of people around, but I know that it takes energy for me to, you know, put the big spread on or make... I like making people feel welcome. So can you see that the role of how God naturally gifts us, on top of that, you overlay the spiritual gifts. And for some, they're easier than others. So hearing and communicating the heart of God is really easy for a prophet. You can do it all day. You know, I could pray for people all day. But to be hospitable takes a bit more energy for me. So does that make sense? Just the difference between the role versus the gift. So the gift overlays, if you like, what the role is. So all of us are called to hear the heart of God, and all of us are meant to do it, but prophets are especially adept at it. So let's look at Jesus as a prophet. So Jesus is our ultimate revelation of God. He's prophetic in his pronouncements. So if you look at Matthew 24 and 25, he foretells a whole host of things. He prophesies his own future. So Matthew 17:12, the Son of Man will suffer. When he fulfills Old Testament prophecies, I think there's something like 323 prophecies in the Old Testament that he fulfills. And he speaks specific words into people's lives. So if you look at John 4, the woman at the well, he knows this woman. He knows that she's had multiple husbands. He knows her life, and he's able to speak into her situation for that particular thing. So we know Jesus is great at all five roles. So this is how we see him operating in the prophetic. But what are our other New Testament role models for prophecy? So Simeon and Anna. So Luke 2, verse 23 and 38, when Jesus is born and his parents take him to the temple, Simeon and Anna proclaim and prophesy over him. Agabus in Acts 11. I'm not used to preaching with an iPad Bible, so it might just take me a minute to negotiate to Acts 11. So Acts 11, we see Agabus. During this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and through the Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. The disciples, as each was able, decided to provide help for the brothers and sisters living in Judea. This they did, sending their gifts to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. So in this situation, Agabus comes along. He says, it's not going to be very good. There wasn't Woolworths in those days. You couldn't go down the street and grab an Indian takeaway or get the local fish and chips. You had to plan for the future. And so he came along and said, there's going to be a famine. You need to stock up. So they did what they could, and they, you know, one of the great values was resourcing everyone. So because they knew this was going to happen, they made sure there was enough for everyone. So what we then see later on in Acts 21, Agabus reappears, not through time travel, he just reappears in the scriptures. After we'd been there a number of days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. Coming over to us, he took Paul's belt, tied his own hands and feet with it, and said, the Holy Spirit says, in this way the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem will bind the owner of this belt and will hand him over to the Gentiles. So he predicts or foretells Paul's imprisonment. And we know that Paul then goes back to Jerusalem and he is imprisoned. It's interesting in this part of the scripture, verse 12, when we heard this, we and the people there pleaded with Paul not to go to Jerusalem. So we have a prophet coming along saying, this is what's going to happen. You'll be bound, you'll be tied up, and everyone around goes, don't go. But Paul said, why not? Why shouldn't I go? If this is what God says is going to happen, then I'm ready to not only be bound, but also to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. So he says, why are you weeping and breaking my heart? So Paul clearly needed to be firm with him and say, no, if this is what God wants, if this is what God is saying, then I'm going to travel down the road. So Agabus the prophet was forth-telling. He was telling a sense of prediction about what will happen. So we can see that in the New Testament we've got prophets, but what about today? What do prophets actually enjoy doing? If you've got the role of a prophet, so prophets enjoy being alone with God. They enjoy intercession, prayer and worship. They enjoy waiting on and listening to God. They love seeing new possibilities. And they love bringing encouragement, comfort and strengthening to people. And they love seeing wrongs righted. So Amos 5:24, let justice roll on like a river and righteousness like a never-failing stream. So when I hear Ray stand up and talk about the asylum seekers and desperately wanting to see those policies change, there's a sense of a prophetic edge in people wanting to see the justice, the injustice come about and there to be justice through that situation. So prophets are around waiting, it's around retreating, it's around seeking God's heart. There's elements of challenge and confronting and discerning what is it that God has to say in situations. But somehow, the challenge around prophecy as a church to say, how do we embrace this and see it grow? We have the flip side of it. And pictures like this we see. So October 28th, 1992 was meant to be a big day. The end of the world is coming. So the rapture is about the end of the world. Are you ready for the rapture? Jesus is coming back on October 28th, 1992. Now we see these sort of pictures and they get a lot of press. And it's incredibly dishonouring to God's heart, I think. Because we know that we will not know the time. We don't know the time or the place or the hour or the minute that Jesus is coming back. So this is what we would call false prophets. So some of the pitfalls of the role of a prophet is if you become unaccountable and isolated, there can be elements of you're going off the rails. So prophets need to be in community. Harsh and judgmental. So when we're speaking the heart of God, and we've just spent 8 weeks going through a prophetic, prophecy course, and I'm thinking, how do I jam that into 28 minutes or whatever it is? So a lot of what we've talked about is how do we act, what are the things inside us that we filter God's voice? So sometimes if we're struggling or we've had a bad meal the night before or we're tired, we need to make sure that what we say is not harsh and judgmental. Not releasing a prophecy once it's delivered. And I'm just about to move on to the role of prophecy. I don't want to know what that was. Parents are going, is that my child crying? So not releasing a prophecy once delivered. So the role of prophets are to communicate the heart of God, and it's up to everyone else in community to work out whether that's what God is actually saying. Over-spiritualising things, if someone's tired, maybe they've got a really bad bed and they need to change their bed rather than maybe God's wanting to speak to them, you know? So sometimes we over-spiritualize things rather than just being logical and realistic. And not recognizing the limits of your anointing. Did I spell anointing right?
Yes.
Not double N. So what I mean by that is I might be reasonably okay at prophecy, but that doesn't mean that I'm actually any good at teaching. So thinking that just because I hear the heart of God doesn't mean I hear him right all the time and doesn't mean that I'm good at everything. My children tell me that I'm not good at everything all the time, but you know, sometimes when you're a prophet, because it's that element of communicating the heart of God, sometimes you can overstep what it is that your role is. So, let's have a look at, Old Testament versus New Testament prophecy. So, Old Testament prophecy, we see there being very clear positions as prophets in the Old Testament. Jeremiah, through Isaiah, there's a whole bunch of prophets that sit there. And the difference between Old Testament and New Testament prophecy is that in the Old Testament, only a few people heard the voice of God. Only a very select few had the Spirit anointing and were able to hear the heart of God. Now, I much prefer to sit in the New Testament times, so we're in the New Testament times now, and New Testament is that everyone can hear the heart of God. Everyone can hear the voice of God. In the Old Testament, if you're a prophet, there are only two options. You are right, and the people should do what you said, and if you are wrong, you are stoned. So I'd much rather, as a New Testament prophecy, you hear the heart of God and you speak it. We're not 100% right all the time, and therefore it's actually about as a community weighing and judging that. So in the New Testament times, if we can go on to the next slide, prophecy is about revelation, interpretation and application. And I spoke about this very briefly last week. So hearing the heart of God is revelation. Interpretation is about what does that mean, and application is for the person who receives the prophecy to work out what does that mean for me. So for an example of this, when we did the blind prophecy, I had a sheet in front of me and I was praying and I had this picture of God speaking words over this person. And it was, "My dearest daughter, your life is set out before you. There will be times of great pain when I am with you. There are times of great joy and I'll be celebrating alongside you." And I had the verse in Philippians 4, "Do not worry, do not be anxious." Because it was about God saying he is faithful through the whole life. And when I opened the envelope to put the prophecy in, I saw that the name was Ian Bolsh. And I went, "Oh, my dearest daughter, that doesn't really fit. That's a bit awkward." So I changed it. I'll admit, I changed it to "my dearest son," because I thought clearly I misheard God. I didn't hear him right. Now, I have talked to Ian and I've got his permission to share this, so it's all okay. And then I thought, well, maybe it's actually for Jan, his wife. And I started to feel myself getting, "Oh, maybe I got it wrong. Oh, well, I'll just put it in there. I'll see what he says." And I handed it over to him and I explained, "Look, Ian, when I was praying, this is what happened." And I said, "Look, take it home, pray about it, see what God says to you about this." So he took it home. Remember last Sunday was Father's Day. And he came and saw me yesterday and he said, "I want you to give some feedback on your prophecy." And those who've received prophecies, please go and speak to the people who did them and give them some feedback about how it impacted you, whether they were on the mark, whether they weren't, because it's important when we do this to learn. So he came and saw me yesterday and he said, "I just want to let you know, last Sunday I opened it, I know I shouldn't have, but I was at the lights and I opened it in the car. And I looked at it and went, oh, you know, well, maybe I'll think about that some more." And that night, he and Jan were sitting in bed because the first line was, "Your life is set out before you." They were sitting in bed and he read it out to Jan, and when it got to the scripture, Jan said, "You are kidding me." And he was like, "What?" And he said, "That's the scripture we had at our wedding." And he said, the moment she said that, God affirmed for him. He said, it was like I was taken back to the day of my wedding. Your life is set out before you. And he said, what was written on the page, he said, just fitted for me exactly how I felt God had worked in my life over the last, I don't know, many years. He didn't say, but many years. And he said it was actually incredibly encouraging for him to see the faithfulness of God throughout that time. And so for me, when I look at Revelation, I just thought I got it wrong. But as prophets, often you just need to put it on paper. And we can think we know what the interpretation is, but really we've just got to let the application go, because that's not up to us. So in that circumstance, I would have worked out that the application was something entirely different. But for him, God spoke to him powerfully about God's faithfulness and his mercy and his love and his care to a really deep level. And it was particularly profound, he said last Sunday, to receive it on Father's Day. And the same day, his daughter that they've been having some issues with, who they've re-established a strong relationship with, gave him a card with almost exactly the same sentiments in the card. So just incredible affirmation for Ian. So it's a great example of how when we hear the heart of God, how it is then applied for another person may be different. So from a prophet role or a doing prophecy, what we need to seek is to hear God and then release it. We're not 100% accurate. And that's why the power of being in community is that as a community, we care and we love each other and we grow and we learn from situations. The other thing that Ian said a couple of last year, during one of our crowded house times, I actually got people to pray for a couple of people in the room and write down prophetic words for them. And Ian says that he thinks there are a couple of the young kids, maybe teenagers, who wrote something on paper for him, and he keeps going back to those things time and time again, and he's incredibly encouraged by some of the words that were written on those papers. So prophecy isn't just for now, it's not just an immediate thing, but can encourage us, it can comfort us, and it can strengthen us when we're feeling a bit lost and a bit alone. So how does prophecy work in everyday life? So prophecy should be about encouraging, comforting and strengthening. But it shouldn't just stop there. It should also be about what is the mission that God's wanting us to do? How does God want us to engage in the world? Hearing the heart of God is about how do we address the injustices in the world? How do we reach out to the local streets and the neighbourhood? How do we bring revelation to people about God's love and his care? So just an example for me in my life, I was praying for my neighbours and had a song. For those of you who've been around a while, an Amy Grant song. Amy Grant was a big Christian artist when I was, baby, that's right. She also did a lot of Christian songs. So one of her songs was "Thy Word is a Lamp unto Your Feet and a Light." So as I was praying for this particular neighbour, I just started singing that song. I go, "Oh, that's a bizarre song. Oh, maybe I'm having an 80s regression." regression, I think. I thought of myself as Amy Grant, but anyway, that's a bit of...
I thought of myself as Amy Grant too, so it's okay.
You've got more the hair of Amy Grant than I have, though. You're more the look of Amy Grant. And so I thought, well, that's funny, right, God, what's it about your word? that your word is a light unto our feet, provides the light of the path. And blow me down, a day or two later, I got a text message saying, do you want to come for a cuppa? And when I went over for coffee, this particular neighbour started to talk to me. She said, I haven't really had a religious background, but I guess you have. I mean, you're married to a pastor. And I said, well, no. So I got to share a bit about my journey and understanding who God is and what his place in my life was about. But I said, well, you know, if you actually want to know about God, because I remembered thy word is a lamp unto your feet, it came back into my mind. So I said, you know, if you want to know what God's like, maybe you should just start reading the Bible. And she said, I would love to. I need to do that. I said, well, let's read it together. So for her, for me, that was God showing me or revealing the key for this particular neighbour about what it would look like to draw her closer to God. So that was an incredibly encouraging thing for me to know that I heard God. But the way that she responded was incredibly encouraging as well, because it was the thing. If I just said to her, look, come to church, it wouldn't have had the same impact as saying, let's read the Bible together. So you can see that prophecy isn't just about here in the four walls of the church. It should be about how do we hear the heart of God for the people who are around us? How do we hear the heart of God and bring God's love and his mercy and his care? How do we draw them closer to the kingdom of God? And prophecy is a very powerful way to do that. So some of the examples of prophets in everyday life are people like. So remember, God gives us these roles, all of us, and we don't necessarily know it if we don't yet know Jesus. So prophets in everyday life are the visionaries. They're the futurists. They're the campaigners. They campaign for issues dear to them, and they give words of challenge to the community. They speak out their perceptions, and they're often really creative types, or they're often really maverick politicians. I'm not saying Clive Palmer's a prophet. Hear me well. I haven't worked that out yet. But often maverick politicians who just can't help but give their perspective on things that are near and dear to their heart often have that sense of the prophetic in them. So names of the people, some of the people who might be considered prophetic, Martin Luther King, Nelson Mandela, Bob Dylan, Bono, Eminem. I'm not saying I like their music, but, you know, their music has that edge of challenging us and taking us outside our comfort zone. Tim Costello would be considered to have a prophetic voice in our community. He speaks out very strongly about gambling, about poverty, about our pushing us to respond to situations. Greenpeace, asylum seeker activities, all of those activities would be seen to have a prophetic edge. So they become like a stone in your shoe, and they provoke us to either change or they just irritate us all the time. So how do we help in the prophetic? If there are prophets amongst us, how do we help that? And how do we grow as prophets? So find other prophets around you, and the prophecies course has been great to actually get together and to learn and grow and challenge each other about how we hear God. We need to be accountable. So we need to be in community. Remember, one of the pitfalls is about being isolated. So we need to be in community. We're not 100% accurate, so it's about having a learning culture here at church. And we need to be sharing in a loving environment. So remember, harsh and judgmental is one of the pitfalls, because we see things and we just want them changed. So there's measures of frustration in there. But it's about learning how to share in a loving environment, because that's how God wants us to be as a community. And it's about developing guidelines to make sure that it's done safely. So as we think about what does it mean to grow in the role of a prophet, but it's also about what does it mean to grow in the gift of prophecy. So the role of a prophet is about fivefold ministry, but each one of us, we know, can hear the heart of God and we can communicate it. And it's about, as a community, learning to do that better. So if you've sat there today and gone, oh, maybe I'm a bit more on the prophetic edge than I really thought I was, come and chat to me. You know, come and we're keen after the prophecy course to get together regularly and really grow and challenge each other, and work out ways that we can bless the church and bless the community. So it's amazing to see how God works through us and in us when we're willing to stop long enough to hear his heart and to communicate that with people around us. So as we finish up, so that's the end of our fivefold series. And you might have come through that five, you might have come through the various weeks and gone, oh, that sounds like me, in one of those five ways. Or you might have done the test and worked, it might have brought something up that you've gone, that's not right. Or, oh, that does sound like me. Can I really encourage you to think about what does that mean for you and how you're going to grow? What does that mean for you in your relationship with God? So remembering way back at the start when we started this, God has a mission in the world. His mission is to redeem people back to himself. And you play a crucial role in God doing that. So how we then do that effectively is about how we work out which gift and role we take and how we work through them. Does that make sense? So let me pray as we finish up and we'll head out to morning. Oh, we got a song. No, David wants to do this. I don't know what the song is. What is the song?
You Do All Things Well.
Yeah, no, we need to do that song because okay. That's good. Father, we just thank you for the way that you love us and you care for us so much. And Father, as we quieten our hearts and we sit before you. Father, I just pray that you would release your prophetic gift in this church. Lord, that you would give us the strength and the comfort to know that you are with us and that you are drawing us closer to you. And Father, as we take our role in this world, Lord, we just look forward to seeing amazing, extraordinary things happen in through your work in us. And Father, we just ask that you would work in us and through us. In Jesus' name. Amen.